We are joined by Attorney Jeff O'Brien from Chestnut Cambrone. And Jeff, lots to talk about, but I want to talk to you about cannabis. Now, what you like about cannabis and is completely different from what I dislike. I don't want to be smelling the secondhand cannabis smoke because people will be doing it, even though it's not supposed to be in public. They're going to be empowered to think they can do it anywhere, and they did not put in any provisions. What it puts a lot on law enforcement and cops to make the decision, are they driving under the influence? Because there's no breathalyzer for cannabis. However, what you do is you represent craft breweries and distilleries, who some of which would like to use this and infuse it into drinks, which I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the other part, the recreational use of it.
Well, and I think that, Bob, I think the recreational use, I think it gets kind of a bad rap. That's why I prefer to say adult use. And, you know, we had medical, you know, marijuana now that's been legalized. At least 38 states have legalized marijuana in some way, shape, or form, either medical or adult use. And just, you know, part of where I come from this, and I, you know, besides representing the breweries that are using the THC for their non-alcoholic beverages, but I also represent some hemp processors, some hemp companies, and some cannabis companies. Most, you know, obviously right now, most of them in other states. But, you know, the argument is, why is it on Schedule One of the Controlled Substances Act at the federal level? Because if a drug has a medical benefit, it is not supposed to be on Schedule One. And I think studies have shown that this drug has a medical benefit. There's, whether it be for glaucoma, whether it be mitigating the side effects of chemotherapy. Some will go as far, there's some that claim that they've put their cancer in remission. I'm not that going that far yet, but it definitely, it's definitely accepted that it aids in chemotherapy patients. There's some studies saying that with NFL players, that with football players, that it can inhibit the growth of the tau protein, which is causing the CTE. So there's medical benefit to this plant. I don't like the state being able to tell people which medical conditions qualify them to use it. And I do think having it legalized and regulated will bring the price down from what the prescription medical stuff is. So it is more available to those that do need it. It's going to require some personal responsibility, just like alcohol does or tobacco, right? So I come at it from more of a legalistic standpoint of, it doesn't belong on the Controlled Substances Act Schedule One, and that's where the starting point is for my discussion. And you know, the current bill that's passed, there's some good and bad about it. I'll be honest, I don't like this social equity applicant stuff where they're going to wait. If you've got 1,000 licenses and 1,500 applicants, you're going to give weight to someone who had a, you know, marijuana conviction or part of a group that's been discriminated against because of marijuana, versus somebody that maybe has been in the hemp world and wants to pivot over and has experience in the industry. I think that's a little bit goofy, but you know, that's the hand we've been dealt.
So that's what they want to do. They want to give priority to people who might have been in jail.
There's a weighted score, and
and
the social equity applicant piece is a heavier weight than other factors in the score if there is a surplus of applicants for the licenses. So that's the part that
there's going to be a surplus because a lot of people are going to get
right.
licenses.
Yeah.
Oh,
but the problem is one side of the debate, the side that usually represents small businesses and common sense, decided to sit on its hands, and they let the Democrats craft this bill. And they, you know, the Senate Republicans, the years they were in control, they blocked votes on it. And their performance last week on Friday was embarrassing. I mean, quoting the Reefer Madness movie and, you know, talking about how many ounces in a joint. They looked like a bunch of grandparents.
Okay, was it several dimwits that did that, or just one?
It was a few of them.
Oh my
were,
gosh!
Yeah, and so if you're a party trying to connect with young voters,
that's
their performance on Friday did nothing to help. So, you know, yeah, I understand everything with the detection for law enforcement. I'm dealing with it for my hospitality clients. Insurance companies aren't going to cover claims if you've served both alcohol and THC beverages. I don't think that what they ultimately pass will be the last word on it. It'll probably you know, they've come back in a year or so and fix certain things or might add on to it, just like they added on to the hemp stuff from last year. But, you know, I think it was time for prohibition to end on this, on cannabis.
Well, and it has. Now, I want to ask you about something else. You spoke to someone who was there when there's a member of the legislature, the state legislature, named Lee Finke. And Lee Finke is a transgender woman who, now, I am not, I have to describe, Lee Finke, do you know how tall Lee Finke is? Looks to
tall,
be
very
six,
tall.
6 foot plus, is, mm-hmm. I mean, I would say, you know, burly, put together, you know, muscular, and went up, did not physically attack a member. Now, Lee Finke is a Democrat, and there's a Republican, Don, what's Don's last name?
Don Gilman.
Gilman. So, but made it, assaulted her verbally, and got it to the point where she asked for security because she was scared for her, that she would be hurt by Lee Finke. And now they're, every Democrat is saying, basically they got the memo, stick up for Lee, and they actually have the hashtag stand with Lee or stand up for Lee. And you, though, before I comment on this, you have spoken to someone who was there when Finke had this interaction. We'll call it that until you explain it.
Yeah,
with Don Gilman.
Yeah, I've got a few. Obviously, I have a few friends at the legislature, and I talked to one of my representative friends who has confirmed that they were in the vicinity when this happened. Because the Democrat, there's been demands and calls to release the video, you know, to confirm that this happened. Nobody on the Democrat side has really even acknowledged that this even happened, much less condemn it, right?
Yep.
So yeah, Representative Finke came like storming over to Representative Gilman, and it wasn't physical, but it definitely was confrontational, more than just a casual discussion. And yes, and so then yes, Representative Gilman felt concerned enough that she asked for a security.
Felt intimidated. I've met her, and she is diminutive. She's tiny. She's not tall at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, she is a small woman in terms of, you know, she's not, I would say she's maybe 5'5", maybe 5'4". And Finke with, I'm assuming Finke wears heels, has got to be 6 foot plus or 6'4" in heels.
Mm-hmm.
And again, is a very, at when a man was a very put together guy, it looks like he worked out. She worked out. I have trouble with those pronouns. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So, but anyway. But it was I assume it was yelling, cause that's what she claimed.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I don't, you know, and the thing is, you know, you can't treat somebody, you know, everybody wants to be treated, have the same treatment. Well, it also includes ethics violations, and you can't, and I understand it, it's violation of the House rules to have a confrontation like this. So there needs to be hearings and a process on this, and Representative Finke needs to be treated just like everyone else who would possibly do something like
but
this.
But they're not, and they are treating Finke's stand up with Finke or stand up with Lee. That is, these people are enablers, and they are giving empowerment to and condoning that behavior. Lee Finke is a bully, certainly off of that, and was in that instance, and should have been. I mean, there should have been rebuked. They should have been censured, and she wasn't, and they are allowing that behavior, and really they're encouraging it by saying that you look on Twitter over the weekend, just about every Democratic legislature in the House and the Senate was talking about how wonderful Lee Finke is to try to overplay or overshadow what actually happened. And again, the Republicans doing a horrible job of getting the word out and making sure that people know what did happen. And some of it is the media is not picking up on that. They're defending Lee Finke too.
Yeah. It's Alpha News that broke the story. The mainstream media in this town have not covered
it. They haven't even touched it. And how do you not touch something like that? Because they're scared to death of offending transgender people. That's what this is about. This is not about being transgender. This is about being a bully.
Right. Exactly.
And that, you know, that's what's so horrible about this. And you have to be able to draw the. I wrote something on social media over the weekend that I do think that Lee Finke is empowered by this. And I think Lee Finke will do something similar or worse and it's going to be a great embarrassment for the DFL. And you know what? Maybe that's good for them. They have it coming because it's a mistake to be endorsing this Lee Finke for behavior that was bully behavior. That's what they're endorsing, and I find that to be disgusting. Yep. But on that happy note, we're going to take a quick break, and the BS show will be right back. Hey, this is Bob Sansevier, and I want to tell you about my go-to movie theater, and it's a lot more. Hey, this is Bob Sansevier, and I want to tell you about my go-to movie theater, and it's a lot more than that. St. Michael Cinema, right off I-94 in St. Michael. Here is cinema manager Shelley Schnell to tell you more about it.
The greatest thing about St. Michael is it is a destination. It's an experience. As soon as you walk in, you are welcome to a Parisian environment. We have 14 auditoriums, including our giant Eiffel screen, which is a 70-foot screen that is just like an IMAX. The best thing about our building is that we offer something for everyone. We've got our $5 Mondays, and that is going to be your bargain Monday. All movies, all day long, all night long, $5 for any age. Tuesday, we've got trivia up at Le Bar on the second floor. Wednesday, we have poker at Le Bar on the second floor. And Thursday is our new release Thursdays. So come on down, play in the free arcade, head outside to Summerfield where we're going to be launching our season on.
If you need new auto glass, there's only one place to call. All Auto Glass. I used them recently. They replace windows on my car and truck. They have mobile service. They have up-to-date technology. They will calibrate vehicles that require it. Great cash prices if you don't have insurance, and a lifetime warranty on their replacements as long as you own your car. They work with all insurance companies, cover the entire Twin Cities metro area, and use quality products and workmanship. Check them out at allauto.com. That's allauto.com. Is inflation making you feel frustrated and out of control when it comes to your expenses? We have a solution. Solidarity HealthShare. With Solidarity HealthShare, you control what doctors you go to, what your dollars support, and how much you spend with pricing options that start as low as $384 for families. Go to SolidarityHealthShare.com for more information or call 844-609-0077. That's 844-609-0077. If you or someone you know is dealing with a DUI, go to smartstartmn.com/the BS show and you will get information for 20% off an ignition interlock system. Again, smartstartmn.com/the BS show. Hey, if you love rodeos, you're going to love this rodeo news. Minnesota's oldest pro rodeo, the Buffalo Rodeo, will be held June 22nd through the 24th. To buy tickets, go to buffalorodeo.com. And if you'd like an authentic custom-fit cowboy hat, get in touch with Paul at truenorthcustomhatworks.us.
Bye-bye.